Welcome to Cash Grab, the podcast where we go through different franchises that have been turned into video games and decide whether or not they're cash grabs. I'm Steph, and with me today is Tom.
It is me.
It is you.
We are back.
Yes, we had a bit of a hiatus, but we are back.
Oh, God. Oh, I remember how complicated podcasting can be. I've done nothing but piss myself over just the prospect of doing an intro again after so long. It's been, God, near enough... Is it near enough 3 years? It's definitely 2 years.
Yeah, it's definitely 2 years. It might be bordering three.
Goodness, that's a long time. But we are back, ladies and gents. So, yeah, you know, for all 20 of you.
Yeah, lucky
we're,
things.
We're here.
We're back. If you can hear scuttling, we do apologise. It's the podcast dog.
Yes, we have a cash grab dog.
He likes to scuttle.
Yeah, he's a good fella.
Right, should we get straight into it then?
I think we should.
So,
I think we should.
Today is the infamous Star Wars Episode 1, The Phantom Menace. So, this film, right, came out October... Oh, home release date. When was the movie released? When was the
We know that the year is 1999, did we not?
Yeah, it was 1999 that it came out.
Let's just labour that. Because at the end of the day, what else happened in 1999? Anything that comes to mind?
I was 7.
You were 7? I was 8, or thereabouts.
We were...
The only thing I know is that the Twin Towers happened in 2001.
Yes.
So 2 years before the Twin Towers, an equally awful atrocity.
Valid. So, on Metacritic.
Yes.
Right. Have you seen what the score is?
No, I haven't.
Right. What do you reckon the meta score is? So, this is the reviewers of actual reviewers.
Like,
what do you
think? Of reviewers?
The overall
score. They usually like to be a bit more... They're usually not quite as overly critical.
Go on. So, what do you think?
Is it a percent?
No, it's from 1 to 100.
Oh, 1 to 100. I don't know. I reckon I'm going to go down the middle, 50.
Oh, it's 51.
Fuck off, is it?
51, right.
Shit, well, there you go.
And the user scores. These are people who can log on themselves and just put...
I reckon like 20.
Yeah?
Yeah.
20?
Yeah.
6.1.
Fuck off, really?
6.1. I don't know why the main score is out of 100 and the other one's out of 10.
Oh, wait, so out of 10, so it's better?
No, because it's going to be a 61, isn't it?
Yeah, which is
61
better.
Out of, yeah, it's better, yeah.
Fuck.
It's 10 better.
You see, that surprises me. That surprises me because I would have sworn, usually when you see with like Metacritic or scores like that...
To be fair. Go on. Sorry, mate.
Go on.
Jeff Smith 250.
Right. Go on, Jeff.
Said 10. 10 out of 10.
Is that what he said?
This is actually a good movie. It explains the origins of Jesus very well and what he sacrificed himself for. All the people who dislike this movie unfairly are just atheists who hate God and what it is.
Wow.
So I think that, you know,
there's a considerable number of bullshit reviews is what you're trying to hint at. The thing is, Jeff...
Jeff Smith has just review-bombed this motherfucker. Because Jeff Smith has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of the top.
Piss off,
right?
Really?
And then you've got 8s and 6s and 4s and 5s
and
3s. And
he's done 10s every time.
He's done 10 every time.
Is it always on the basis of it being about God, by the way?
Good movie, love Jar Jar and all the characters, good acting and good action.
I'm sorry, but when you're doing a review of episode 1, you can't
There's
be taken
one.
Seriously if
There's
you say
one.
Loved Jar Jar.
Hold on.
Oh, God. Is this Jeff again?
This is Jeff Smith 241.
Oh!
So it's the same, but he's
just making multiple accounts with different numbers,
right.
Isn't he?
This movie
Cheeky
is the
bastard.
Best movie ever to exist. It made me realise God exists. It made me realise that Jesus' sacrifice was for a good reason. It cured my depression with Jar Jar's funny humour. Thank you, George Lucas. Let's take it with a massive grain of salt that it's a 6.1.
Okay, yeah.
Because what would you rate this as?
Out of 10 or out of 100?
Oh, fuck it, it's the same scale, isn't it? If you're going to put a point.
And the number's the same.
Yeah, what is it? God.
It's got to be like a 5, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very mediocre, isn't it?
Well, like...
To crap.
I can give it a 5 out of 10. if us watching it and being able to laugh at certain things. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's middling because it isn't.
But we're not laughing with it, are we?
No, we're laughing at it.
We're laughing at the
film. Exactly. It's the equivalent of somebody at school who's desperate to be popular. So desperate that if you said to him, fall on a rail with your legs akimbo,
They'll just split their nuts in half.
He would fucking do that in a second.
No worries.
He would cough up a testicle.
But you're not...
No worries.
You're not friends with that child because he's funny. You're friends with him because he's a complete dick. And he does whatever you say.
Yes.
So, yeah, this film is just crap. So, I mean, there are redeeming parts of it. I'm not going to sit back and say this. It's just all shit.
There are. No, of course. Like, I think any film, even some of the worst films, even some of the terrible films we've previously watched... Even then, I thought to myself, think about Alien Resurrection. That had very few redeeming qualities. Very few redeeming qualities. But you can't deny that when she stabbed that guy in his leg and he was disabled, we all had a mighty good cackle about that. And that easily bumped the score up 1 or 2 points. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
Easily. So, on Cash Grab, we watch half an hour of the movie, play half an hour of the game, and do an overall comparison as to whether it is a cash grab or not. So, we only are going on the basis of half an hour of the movie, but frankly, that's enough. It's enough in most movies.
We have both seen this film all the way through.
Yes, we have.
It's been a good few years for me, and it's been a long time for you.
Near enough 20 years.
Yeah.
I can't remember seeing this...
I know I've watched it since it's come out, but I can't remember when.
You see, I can't remember watching it since seeing it in the cinema.
Yeah.
Although, like, episode 2 and episode 3, countless times I've watched that. On that subject, we're veering a little bit. Have you ever heard, you know the Darth Vader?
No!
Yeah. Have you ever heard it in French?
No.
It's a lot better. Do you want to hear it?
What?
Talk, and I'll find it. It's...
Wait, how's the... What's the French word for no? Is that just not no as well?
Non.
Yeah, so it's the same noise.
No. Trust me, it's like... Where is the English one? It's almost comic, isn't it?
Yeah, it's great.
No!
Yeah.
The French one is like an anguished cry. It's like, you're like...
Go on, you've got to find
hang
it.
On, Darth Vader French.
Darth Vader French.
If you're wondering how I found this video, I just typed in Darth Vader French for a laugh one day. And here we go. Look, the French version of Darth Vader's no is much better. So this is the English.
Put it a bit closer to the mic.
Yep, so we all know that. French.
No! Wow.
It's better, isn't
it? That's a lot more epic, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's got a lot more
heart to it. You feel it, don't you? So this is the full scene in English, by the way, to you listeners. Does it do the full scene in French? Yes, it does, I believe. Or maybe it doesn't. Maybe it's just English. Better! Better!
Yeah. I'll give it that. Yeah, it
there you
better.
Go. So, fair. The reason I got onto this, Phantom Menace could be a 6 in French, or a 7.
It could be a 7.
Imagine. It could be a 7.
In French, yeah. Don't know. Well, it depends what they do with Jar Jar, doesn't it? That's what it hinges on.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Because if Jar Jar is the equivalent of French Darth Vader,
he could be...
Then it could be really
he
good.
He could be a complementary character to a half-decent film.
Yeah.
Whereas... I think if the film is the turd, Jar Jar is the complimentary skid mark on the toilet bowl. That's how I'm seeing this.
I feel so bad for that actor that played Jar Jar as well.
Was it an actor? Because didn't they?
It was an actor.
So
yeah.
Did they just have a bloke in like the suit with balls all over it?
Must have been.
Really?
Yeah. Must have been. Because the thing is, I watch it and I barely understand what... I mean, to be honest, it's a convoluted film anyway. Like, I don't really know what the fuck's going on in the first half.
It should be simple, but it's not, is it?
But Jar Jar, I've struggled to understand what he's trying to say. You know, when he's being banished from his little underwater complex.
Yes.
We were saying, you know, why is he being banished?
What is it?
And he goes to explain it. He says he's clumsy, and then he explains it as a fish is coming for him, and then you don't... I didn't understand the word, what he said.
No, it's all just fucking... It's like...
It's like hearing a four-year-old talk.
Yeah, but it's like when he comes on the screen, it's almost like there's some sort of fucking white mist that overtakes my eyes and my brain, you know? I just hear fucking fuzz and shit. And, like, I can't make any sense of it at all. I mean, the things... There was... So, we're not gonna analyse scene by scene and go through every single bit because it's going to eat up into far too much time. But we're going to talk over key points, I think. So Jar Jar is obviously going to be something we're going to keep frittering back to throughout all of this, even when we get to the game, which doesn't even fucking include Jar Jar. We'll talk about him half the time.
Yeah,
I'm
we'll
sure.
get to that bit.
But the other thing that you said at the start of this, you said, oh, you know, it's a subversely quite a racist film. And that I hadn't really got in my head. But my God, it plays on a lot of racial stereotypes, doesn't
it? It is.
Jesus fucking Christ.
Watching it now, it is hard to watch.
It is a bit much, isn't it?
You feel awful just watching it because it's so bad.
But I mean,
it's
like,
so bad.
It's one thing I think is a bit off, right? And I'm not going to verge on any sort of racist talk at all. It's going to be complicated and difficult because this is
something... Yeah, that is not a subject that we can really broach.
No, not at all. But like, obviously, at the beginning of the film, when both Qui-Gon Jinn and Anakin Skywalker are playing...
Anakin?
Obi-Wan Kenobi, that's the one. They're playing ambassadors to these... I don't even know what they're called. These odd alien people that have just been introduced in this
new
episode.
Yeah, I don't know what race they are.
Yeah, not at all. But they're basically portrayed as like an imperial Japan, aren't they?
Yeah, it comes across that way, yeah.
Yeah, it's to the point where their accents are like... Jidadoo, jidadoo on a battle-a-doo, starship-a-doo.
Yeah,
and you're
awful.
Like...
Stereotypical, like...
Oh God, it's a bit much. The one thing I would say where they got it so wrong with racial stereotyping, those Japanese squid boys fly around in donuts.
Yeah, they are very weird ships, aren't they?
Now, the Japanese are known for technical marvels. And when it comes to any sort of thing like, you know, any sort of like production line thing like cars or anything like that, they're usually reliable... Very well built, and you know they're functional and utilitarian. I think if you're basing it on their manufacturing skills, I would say they're more like the Greeks.
What?
Than the Japanese?
What the fuck are you on about?
The Greeks are notoriously awful at building things. Terrible. Awful. Do you want more adjectives? Plain, downright crap.
Sure.
Not the Japanese. Never the Japanese. In fairness, their robots are good. Which are quite like the Japanese. I think I'm wrong.
I don't even know where you're going with this.
Well, they've got...
Anyway.
The Droidicas are pretty impressive.
The Droidicas
actually,
are
isn't it?
Cool. They're good.
Once again, it's one of the few cool things of episode one, I think. Is
they have a few cool bits, you know, but...
Should we highlight some cool bits?
Well, in the first half an hour, what did we enjoy? The Droidicas?
Droidicas are quite cool.
there was more. I definitely enjoyed something else.
You know, I really don't think there was much else that was quite cool.
No, you know what? I think it's just the Droidicas. I really enjoy the Droidicas. They're really cool.
There's nothing else very cool about it.
The music. I like the music.
Yeah.
There you go.
I'll agree. Yeah, music sound.
Music,
but once
good.
Again, it would be harder to do that wrong than to do that right. I think. Considering the three films previous
John
to this,
Williams already built up the first three films, and now he's come back for this one.
He's like, it's like the Hans Zimmer effect. You know what I mean? Hans Zimmer has effectively made the same song like 20 times for like Christopher Nolan films. It's literally the same fucking song.
The same TikTok.
Yeah, and he just gives it a slightly different title, tweaks a little bit here, tweaks a little bit there, and it's a new song. It's a similar thing with Star Wars, isn't it? They follow similar orchestral patterns, I would say. So it's hard to do it wrong, I think.
Yeah, but it's so good.
I mean, at the end of the day, doing the whole... that whole fucking build-up is the best.
That was so good.
That's a beautiful thing.
It's a shame that we didn't have that scene. With the Jewel of Fates music, because I love that music.
Beautiful. Beautiful stuff.
And then one of the last things I want to say is how fucking wooden...
acting.
Queen Amidala is. Isn't she Amidala?
Yeah. I think so, yeah. Isn't it meant to be wooden?
Is it meant to be that wooden?
It is wooden. Very wooden.
It's so bad. I mean, the acting, you know, like, it's not very believable anyway. You can tell, like, they're kind of all phoning it in.
Yeah, they're all phoning it in big time.
But Jesus Christ. When she's having that conversation and Padme's next to her, she's so fucking boring.
You'd imagine.
At that point, you're wondering if you'd prefer to be in a room with Jar Jar.
I wouldn't go that far, mate. That's a bit much, to be honest.
God, it was terrible.
I mean, look, we're trying to stretch out some positives. I think we should just knock out a load of negatives in a bit as well. But one positive I would say, and it's not me being perverse, I'm going to throw that out there to start. This was during the time where, what's her name? Natalie Portman was still very attractive. I think Natalie Portman is very attractive in this film, in fact.
So how's that good for the film?
Good to look at.
Just that she, they hired an attractive actress?
Yes, yeah, good to look at. That's it. That's literally my fair point. That's literally... But the thing is, after this, I feel Natalie Portman took a fucking nosedive. She did... You see videos of, like, fucking the Red Arrows?
Videos of the Red... Oh, what, the YouTube videos? Is that what you mean?
You know the Red Arrows, the planes?
Do stunts. Right, yeah.
At little kind of, like, fucking field festivals in Hertfordshire and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And there's always one that just nosedives into the fucking crowd and kills 20.
That's
what happened to Natalie Portman's looks.
Jesus!
Over the years. Compare Natalie Portman in Phantom Menace and then compare her to Black Swan Natalie Portman.
I haven't seen it.
It's worse.
It's worse.
It's a lot worse. I can promise you it's worse. So that's one thing I'd say. I looked her in this film and I said, that gets an extra point on this film. Because you're quite nice to look at. I'm a shallow reviewer.
How much... So, the budget for Phantom Menace was $115 million.
Fucking hell.
Right. How much money do you think it made in its box office?
I'd imagine it made a huge amount because it's the first Star Wars. Like,
it was the first Star Wars for how many years? A lot of years.
20 years,
something like that. So it was obviously had massive hype to it. I mean, we were well excited for it when it was coming.
Yeah, it was. I mean, yeah. I'm going to just chuck out 500 million.
Double it.
Fuck off. It made a billion.
1.027 billion.
That's not even a real amount of money.
That's what Google says.
Well, it's got to be true.
It's got to be true.
Holy shit, really?
Yeah, done pretty well, didn't it? Done pretty,
honestly,
pretty well.
If that's all you have to do to make $1 billion, why aren't we all so rich? Because that's a small creative endeavour to do that, isn't it? Hire some piss-poor actors, get them to sit about throwing fucking skipping ropes at fucking fake droids, piss about for a bit, get a half-decent villain... Throw in a fucking bit of comic relief, which isn't in the least bit funny, and you laugh into the bank.
Well,
I literally just described Phantom Menace.
It did have, you know, the shoulders to stand on that was Star Wars 6, 7 and 8. No, 4, 5, 6.
Listen, if in 20 years, when I do Lego Mollusk episode 4... I don't make a billion, I'm going to be upset.
That's all on you. You have to make a billion with your Lego Mollusk film.
I have to. Because I'm I've done nothing but lose money making Lego Mollusks so far. I'm in the shitter with Lego Mollusk at the moment. For any of you that haven't watched Lego Mollusk, just Google Lego Mollusk and you won't find it.
Good. One day you might do it.
One day. One day you might.
Anything else you want to say about the film, or should we move on?
Yes, I want to point out one scene in particular. I'm gonna slightly reenact it to you.
I can't wait.
Hang on, I'll do. We need to find passage to Coruscant. Where? To Coruscant. You're under arrest.
Yeah, that bit. What the fuck was happening? That droid was just.
What? The whole scene. I feel like what happened is they said to Liam Neeson, your line is we need passage to Coruscant, and they're going to say, you're a fugitive, you're under arrest. And they just went with it when he went, we need passage to Coruscant, and it went, where? And he was totally, it looked like he was caught off guard. Because he said, we need passage to Coruscant, to where? Like, you're clear. Like, if I was talking to a droid, I'd say, I'm sorry, you're clearly not listening to me.
Can I talk to the droid behind you?
Yeah, please? Can I talk to your manager droid, please? Can I talk to one with a yellow stripe or something? Like,
there are yellow ones, isn't there? There are yellow ones, yeah. And red ones. Yeah.
Like, to Coruscant. He had to repeat himself twice, which for some reason was kept in the film. And I feel like that was just...
It seemed really weird, didn't it?
The whole thing was weird.
But then why was the robot stuttering? Did the robot stutter?
No. No, well, I mean, they're programmed to just like, this is... I don't know.
Because he was like, you're under arrest.
Does not compute, you're under arrest. For fuck. just a fucking awkward scene of events. But also, they were holding like 50 or 60 prisoners on the floor, right? Who I believe were all soldiers.
Yes.
That had been disarmed. Right. There were four droids standing with their backs faced to them. 50.
Just take
60.
Them out. Just dogpile them.
Pull their legs off. Take a gun. You've got four guns. You can shoot the rest. You might have a couple of casualties. Worth it, in my opinion, to get, like, to save 48 of you. I just thought the whole scene was like you said...
Just uprise.
You said this, like, when we were 10 minutes in. That's how long it took for you to say, it's like a child's written the script for this.
Yeah, to be fair, like, it really is.
Like,
it
took you 10 minutes to
it's
say
they
that.
Were just, they say 10... exactly what you're expecting.
Yeah.
And I feel like if I know what the next line is, without having seen this film for at least 5 years, if I know what the next line is, you haven't wrote it very well, because I am not a writer.
Well, this is it. I mean, like, it's... Like, that whole scene was written by a child, in my opinion. It's the fucking technical equivalent of Qui-Gon Jinn walks into the dock with Queen Amidala and he has to do a lightsaber battle with a 10-foot Beyblade. Like, it's like that. Do you know what I mean? That's a good idea for a scene. Of course it is, Oliver, but you're 7 years old.
But we'll do it anyway.
But I've got...
I like it.
But I've got $1 million. Oliver, you're so right, mate. In fact, let's put two Beyblades. Thinking about it, droidicas are quite similar to Beyblades.
Just as great.
I remember some of their names.
What, droidicas?
No.
Oh.
Beyblades.
Oh, no. I didn't go with the TV show.
You don't remember the ultimate frostic dranzer?
No, I do not. I never had Beyblades.
Well, you're fucking uncool then, aren't you?
Oh, yeah, no, I'm regretting it now.
Right, would you carry on watching this film?
From the half an hour that we watched, would you carry
on? Nah, you know what,
We got to the point where they land on Tatooine and that was it.
Yeah, no, I don't think I would. And I know what's coming as well, so I'm kind of preempting myself. No, I don't think I would. I'll put it
not
down.
Not even for the Jewel of Fates?
But there's literally another like hour and a bit
until you get to that
shit
one
content.
Bit. Yeah.
Like, I feel that's too big a commitment.
Yeah, to be honest, I feel like the pod racing scene goes on forever, so I wouldn't carry on
and
watching
like,
it.
And like
for
you
that
said, that's always been quite a highly rated point of Phantom Menace, and yet
doesn't really do anything for me.
No, the N64 game was great.
Yeah, the N64
that's
game
a
was
cash
great.
In episode.
Yeah, we'll do a cash in on that.
That's a cash in episode.
So. On to the game.
Here we go.
We played the PlayStation 1 game. Right?
Yes, we did.
Do you want to hear some of the review scores?
I'd love to, actually. Yeah, go on. Just going to have a sip of water. Go
games on, ranking, or game rankings, PlayStation version, 54.3.
Out of 100?
Out of 100.
Okay.
Game Informer.
Yep.
7.25 out of 10.
Oh, these are ridiculous scores. What the fuck?
Game Revolution, B minus.
Oh, for fuck's sake, man.
Game Pro, 4.5 stars.
Out of
5.
That's very generous.
Game Spot.
Yeah.
Coming in here. For the PlayStation 2 version. PlayStation 2. PlayStation 1 version.
Fucking hell.
4.2 out of 10.
Well, that, yeah.
They're against the grain, they are.
Yeah, they are at the moment, which surprises me.
IGN.
Oh, here we go.
6.2 out of 10.
I think that's the best score so far.
All right, three more. Ready?
Yep.
PC Gamer US.
Okay.
But that's for the PC version, which does seem to be reviewing better.
Oh.
71%.
Pretty good. Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right. OPM, which I think is a PC magazine as well, isn't it?
It sounds like it, yeah.
3 out of 5 stars.
All right.
Next Generation. For the PlayStation 1 version.
All right.
1 out of 5 stars.
Fuck, this is all over the place.
It's all over the shop.
Holy shit.
So this released in, we'll do the PAL version, because that's us.
Yes.
September 24th, 1999.
Oh. Is that...
September 24th.
After the film.
So right, I'm just looking at...
Because, I mean, it's not always the case with a cash grab. But it's often the case time can play quite a considerable factor on whether something is a cash grab or not. Although there have been some films we've reviewed in previous episodes, which you must go back and listen to if you are listening to this episode or viewing it on YouTube. There are some films which, like, and games in tandem, which were definite cash grabs, released to be a cash grab, and yet we thought they weren't quite a cash grab.
No. I've only found the US release date, so I'm just looking to see if I can find UK.
That's fine. Just go for that. Actually, no, it wouldn't make sense with the PAL version, would it?
No. July.
In,
came out 16, in Britain? 16th July, yeah.
July, August, September. Yeah.
So, it was in the window, I'd say. If it was 1 billion in the box office, it was still in the opening window.
Yeah.
Because that thing would have been in cinemas for fucking ages.
It would have been a fucking long time, innit? Milk that sucker. Get every fucking drop of blood from that dry stone.
Yeah.
Imagine fair. I'm getting some wild thoughts coming into my head right now.
God, what are you thinking?
I'm thinking about strogifying. Do you remember in Quake 4?
Oh, yeah, when you got turned into a strog.
Yeah. I had, when I said, like, bleed every bit of blood from that dry stone, just had this image of Jar Jar chained up, being strogified.
Fair.
For money.
For right. Money. Anyway, what did you think? Did you enjoy the game?
Oh. Right. Jumping into this. The game, and it's hard to say, isn't it? Because age is a factor. This game is near enough to, well, it's over 20 years old.
Yeah.
This game is over 20 years old. So it's going to play a factor now. Age is a really, like, it's a serious thing. PS1 games are like serious fucking retro games these days. It's mad.
Yeah, definitely. PS5 is going to be released soon. You know, it's...
What world is this, man? But, like, oh, it's... Like, at the same time, think about what is on the PS1. It came out a lot earlier.
I feel like it plays a lot like Lara Croft, Tomb Raider.
Yeah.
So, like, it is still in the same vein of that in terms of, like, it's not pushing the boundaries, but it's very much within the boundaries of what the PS1 was doing at the time.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I mean, it wasn't absolutely. The gameplay wasn't piss poor.
Yes.
It was actually, once I got the handle of it, it was actually quite fun. But that was because it was kind of a bit stupid at the same time.
I think that's its saving grace.
Yeah.
I think it's just... once again, similar to the film, the only saving grace of the film is that the ridiculous notions of it can make it quite funny to laugh at, not with.
Yes.
It's the same with the game, man. Like, some of the shit in that game. Like, let's paint a scene for the listeners and viewers. you, much like the film, you start off going into the one of the, you know, as ambassadors, as Obi-Wan with Qui-Gon Jinn into one of those donut-shaped ships, just like the film, scene for scene.
Yep.
Right? Obi-Wan says, I have a bad feeling about this. Qui-Gon's basically like, shut up, you little, like, nitwit. Like, you know nothing about the Force, you're still a Padawan. Like, be gone. And then, wait, Green...
Who said that?
Qui-Gon Jinn.
Oh, to
Obi-Wan.
To Obi-Wan, right, yeah.
And then, before their very eyes, green smoke starts entering the building.
Well, the silver C-3PO comes in first.
Yes.
With a cup of tea.
He comes in with a cup of tea and green smoke starts coming in. Now, I think we've actually mentioned this on a previous episode of Cash Grab, but if green smoke enters, assume it's not breathable.
Yeah, assume straight away it's toxic. It ain't going to be good for you.
So one of your options to start off this game is you can go up and talk to said droid and you say, what's this smoke about? He says, don't worry about that.
It's our ventilation system.
That's our ventilation system. That's steam. Now, steam ain't green. Never seen green steam before. Never in a million fucking years. Don't think I ever will, in fact.
So, hopefully not.
No, hopefully not. So, right off the bat, it's I don't know, it's quite a ludicrous premise, isn't it? Just like, in the middle of a video game where the smoke's just pumping out and it doesn't even seem to be filling the room. It's almost like, do you know what, a really big downside of this ship would be if that... their poison gas ventilation system on the floor was built below their air conditioning unit up above, yeah, so it just vented straight into
it. Suck it straight
like,
back
oh,
into the ship.
For fuck's sake, man, we can't execute anyone in this ship.
Why can't we get the poison distributor and the AC engineer together with these plans? Where's the donut foreman? Why did you finger this?
And it's bound to be that fucking droid who's just like, nah, yeah, so, I mean, the game, it's like Tank Controls, like Lara Croft-esque kind of action adventure sort of thing.
Yeah, lots of buttons to press.
Yeah.
And then, like, little puzzles to figure out. Obviously, the puzzles in this weren't as difficult as Lara Croft's puzzles because they are near impossible.
Yeah.
But one of them still nearly had me stumped.
Mate, there was a few things that had us stumped in this game.
Oh, fucking hell. So this game is... this game is rock hard.
It's fucking nailed,
if,
isn't it?
If you do not explore. But by... because it's a PS1 game, obviously the open world isn't very big.
No.
But...
Just linear corridors,
yeah, it's corridors with rooms to the sides.
Yeah.
But so you come out of the poison-filled room, and you know, you come out and there's like a little battalion of droids. So you take them out. On my first go, I had like a quarter of health left. I thought I'd done really
well. They were fucking rock hard as well, weren't they? Like,
but the
blasting lasers here, there and everywhere.
It doesn't let you in gently. Obviously, it's spot on with the film.
Yeah,
so it's exactly
what
happens in the film. But
true enough.
It doesn't let you in gently at all. So it's just like,
no.
Hey, you're still learning to play this game. Well, take fucking six droids. That's how you do.
In it.
But then, so you do that. And then you go to the next bit. And there's another droid. And you know, it's very easy to lose health, because if you don't realise that the reflecting the bullets back is actually timing based, which I quite liked.
Yes, and it's the same button as hit, isn't it? It's square. Yeah, yeah.
Until you get overwhelmed, because then you're just smashing square and it's not doing it very well.
You're not going to time at all. But, which I suppose, once again, quite reflective of what it would be like if you were a Jedi being blasted at by multiple lasers at once.
Yeah, you can't reflect everything. So it turns out that if I came out that door and turned left straight away, no, it was right. Sorry, to the right.
Right, yeah.
I would have got a health pack.
And if you turned left,
I would have got a fucking hand grenade,
a thermal fucking detonator.
Oh yeah, and also there was a fucking blaster.
That's it. There was a gun.
You could get a gun,
which actually turned out to be quite helpful at certain points.
Yeah, for those vent machines.
I don't think it was helpful for them because they took
it was
20 bullets each.
Yeah,
oh no, but you're not
but
near
you
them.
Get zapped.
And
you
they do little short range zaps. That was fucking funny,
that
mate.
That was great. it played quite well. The only
it's
thing
right,
that let it down,
it? It's all right.
Was there was one bit where you go into a room and then they kind of come from all sides.
Mm.
When they're behind you, it takes a good like 3 seconds to spin round.
Yeah, it's slow.
In all that
it?
Time, you're getting shot at. So your health's just depleting as you're trying to turn.
Yeah,
it's not very Jedi-like.
No, it's not very Jedi. talking about Jedi like? Should we talk about the role?
Oh, the role.
Considering, and I'm going to make a comparison here, Qui-Gon makes it quite apparent that he can run at lightning speeds.
Yeah, because he bolts off, don't he?
Yeah. Obi-Wan can't even do a fucking forward roll.
No, just sideways roll.
And I mean, they look painful. Do you know what I mean? They look painful. And, I mean, I've seen his lightsaber clip through his own body a couple of times doing
that.
Oh,
yeah, we did glitch the game out at one point.
Now,
yeah.
When I died with that death, I thought it was a bit weird that his lightsaber was still up.
Mm.
And I thought, like, I don't remember his lightsaber being. I thought, like, you die and it just zaps itself off. And then we got... So instantly if you die, you decide to restart level. That your options are load game, restart level, or quit. I mean, quit was tempting from the first moment, but we had to persevere.
We had to persevere, and I turned out to really enjoy it.
It was fucking great.
Once I found out to explore and press buttons, I really enjoyed it.
Great fun. So we start off after this most recent death where the lightsaber's just on in Obi-Wan's dying hands. He starts off the scene and his lightsaber's still on, but it's kind of like just pointing out of his body like a huge glow-in-the-dark cock. and Steph's like, oh, for fuck's sake, man. Starts tapping square, and we realise he can wallop Qui-Gon to you with it. We're just there like, boosh, boosh, whilst he's there just like, shut up, little Padawan. Your force senses mean fuck all.
I've sensed something's wrong here.
Boosh, boosh, boosh.
Yeah, that was good. I enjoyed that.
That was definitely a highlight. What one highlight, I did think we might get to it naturally, but I just want to jump in there and talk about it because I fucking loved it. Loved it to bits. When you walk down that corridor after falling down the vent and you see the ship explode.
Oh, the ship. What an explosion.
Now, the explosion's totally fucking random, so you've got some pot luck if you're going to have a fucking like monitor like bosh you in the head as it blows up. What I love so much about it is that after it blows up, it just leaves a huge bloody shit smear on the floor, like where a ship once was. And it's fucking beautiful because how does it become that?
Yeah, I don't know how it becomes a smudge.
How does it become a fucking skid mark? Do you know what I mean? I love it. I love that. And we stopped to watch that. Obviously, there'll be footage playing as you're watching.
Yeah, you should. If you haven't, if you're just listening to it on audio, then check out at least our episode of, what was it, Opening Bid? Our new series.
Yes, our new series is Cash Grabs Opening Bids.
So you can see our initial commentary over our first playthrough. So it's all off the cuff. It's all as we play it.
Totally fresh.
So,
totally fresh.
Yeah, if you want to just go there and you can skip through if you want and see the bit, then absolutely, go for it. But if you could watch the whole video, that would be great.
I would advise it. I would definitely, definitely advise it. It'd be a wise thing to do, and you're wise people, so do it. Simple.
Yeah. So this game had a lot of layers to it, actually. So, you see... No, wait, hold on, listen, you'll agree.
All right.
So, you see an R2-D2 unit. Yes. Obviously, you want to force push it, and then you want to destroy it.
Naturally, yeah, of course.
I didn't destroy one, and he then came over, opened the door...
actually.
...and got me a health pack.
Yes, he did, yes. You're right.
Because you didn't kill him.
Yes. But the thing is, it's like they obviously knew that. The designers of this game are obviously incredibly intelligent because they thought, like, I mean, come on.
You're going to destroy it.
If you had a lightsaber and incredibly potent force powers, the first thing you'd do is you'd be like, I'm going to Tatooine, I'm going to a junk dealer, and I'm going to smash his stock in. I'm going to wreck his fucking stock. You know those little Jawas?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, when they just sell old shitty droids. He'd come up to you and he'd be like, ah, double, again, like pointing at his droid. He's like, this is a gonk. This one's an R2 unit. This one's an R4 unit. That R5's a bit busted, but I'll do a deal on him. And you're there, like, stroking your chin. Analysing. You just wallop him. Wallop him. And then you just go home.
You can't
and watch.
Put someone in control of a
Jerry Springer.
Jerry Springer. But you can't put someone in control of a lightsaber and not expect them to destroy every single thing that they can see.
Yes.
Because I said that's exactly what you want to do. You want to destroy everything.
It's like they say it's their tools of self-defense. I know they bugger all about this, like, going on about all martial arts and sort of shit, and they, you know, they portray themselves as like, oh no, it's not a violent form, it's about self-defense and, you know, all this and the, I say bollocks to that. You get a lightsaber, I would want to see if you cut every leg of the Eiffel Tower, which way it would fall.
It's a good question. Depends what order you cut them in. How quickly can you cut the first
and
leg
at
to
what
the second
angle
leg to the third leg to the fourth
in.
Leg?
Yeah. Well, if I've got Qui-Gon Jinn's sprint ability, that thing would be falling in half a second.
Yeah.
Just done.
And then, yeah.
But if I've got Obi-Wan's roll ability, give me 20 minutes, mate. Give me 20 minutes
rolling
to roll around
forth.
That sucker. Yeah. So, I don't know. I mean, how do we get onto this?
Anyway, did this game make you feel like a Jedi?
In the same way... You know what? In a way it did. In a really weird way it did. Because you're clearly much more powerful than anything
than
you
the robots.
Face.
Yeah, yeah.
At least at this
Except
moment.
The droidica. Except and the
fucking hell,
where the
yes.
Fuck? So at one point, went through a door. Yes. And it was one of those walking fucking spaceships just shooting at me.
That's a point.
That
I remember.
Was like, that was like a mini boss right there. I ran away.
But there were a couple of them and they just fucked off.
Yeah, they did. Because I ran away. I think they thought, oh, fuck it. He's obviously got brown trousers. We're just going to turn away and walk off. Poor lad's a bit embarrassed.
It's in a way it did, because you are so clearly stronger than everything. So it gives you that sense of power to an extent. But at the same time, no, it didn't make me feel like a Jedi.
Because it was so awkward. Because like, you'd destroy one robot, you'd spin around. I'd say spin. You'd slowly turn around and you'd start attacking the next one, but you'd be just out of range.
Yes. You look
so
silly, don't you?
You're like swinging away and he's shooting you quite happily in the face and you're just swinging like a madman trying to kill him until you take one step forward and then you finally chop his arm off.
Yes.
Admittedly,
some of the like animations for killing the droids aren't too bad. They're limited. There's like four or five of them. But they're alright, do you know
yeah,
what I mean?
Sweet,
like,
yeah.
I think my favourite animation is if you die by a fan.
Oh god.
That would be my best. It was the way like that little fucking Roomba came up to you and like you like, you're like, oh, I better get away to give you a little zap, and we thought the better option, run into a fan. Just it reminded me of a Quake death.
Yeah, Quake death.
It was like
yeah,
Quake death.
Just when
yeah,
you
yeah.
shoot a dead body in
yeah,
Quake
yeah.
and it just blows
it just
into
blows
cubes.
Into chunks. Yeah, you just chunk it. Yeah, it was like a Quake death. That was beautiful. My favourite death. Favourite death of our little playthrough, definitely.
That was great.
That was beautiful. It was absolutely beautiful.
The thing is
with it, I think what could add replayability to this is if you... It's like at the end of the level, because when we finished the first level, finally finished the first level.
Yeah, well, no, it took us quite a while, didn't it?
It took us over our
Once we found out that you had to explore, we were sweet.
Yes, yes. It took us over our 30 minutes, no doubt. Like, a good 35, something like that. So, not too bad. But the one thing I think would add something to this game is at the end of the level, it said, like, you know, your kill rate, how many enemies you killed, like your explore percentage, did you find like the two or three secrets in the level, and then your Jedi rating, how good of a Jedi are you?
Like a Doom kind of
yeah, exactly.
End screen, yeah.
Like from Kit Fisto to Samuel Jackson, how good a Jedi are you?
Fair.
You know?
Yeah.
I think we were more on Kit Fisto's side than Samuel L. Jackson's side. I heard a funny theory about Samuel Jackson's purple lightsaber.
Go on.
Because if you mix blue and red, you get purple.
Mm-hmm.
So they said he is a bit of a misnomer. He's a bit light side, he's a bit dark side as well.
That's what you'd want to be, wouldn't it?
Well, I thought just a balanced person.
Yeah, because you have the best of both. Like, yeah. Why is it that you're considered a Sith if you can shoot lightning from your hand? Surely that's just a useful fucking thing.
It would be great, isn't it? Because if your fuse box shorts out,
just
you don't have to go flip all the switches. You just done. Just boom!
Zap it.
Back in. In fact, you can overpower your house.
Yeah, your phone runs out of batteries. Give it a zap.
Yeah, just Oof. Like you just. I mean, viewers can't see, but you've got a charging port in the bottom. Just I'm putting my finger
still
to
it. You can have a conversation with someone whilst charging your phone.
Yeah.
Why is that a bad thing?
They'd be like, what are you doing? Charging my phone.
Yeah. Fucking chill out.
Get on with it. I'm going to charge my tablet now. Yeah. There you go. Done.
What's that?
There you go. I'll charge everything. What else can I charge? You got anything to charge?
Because I'm a balanced Jedi. I can charge my phone.
I'm a balanced Jedi. I charge what I want.
It is a bit. I do find it a bit stupid. But it's a good theory. I wish they'd done more with Samuel Jackson as well.
Yeah. I wish they did more. Did you play any of the Knights of the Old Republic games?
No. I tried to play hard work. Number one.
Yeah.
And I just couldn't get into it because it's so PC. Like, it's such a PC game is what I mean. Like, it's not politically correct.
I mean, are you a man or a woman? Not that it matters or anything, but like, you can be what you want, but
no, it's just, I found it like, it's too much of an old PC game.
Yeah.
And I struggle to sit and play a game like that on a PC.
Also, it's BioWare, so like 80% of the time is talking rather than doing you know
things.
Yeah, like there's a lot of in-depth conversation remembering things.
There's a rumor going around that might be another one coming out, not like the MMO, but like an actual fully fledged one.
Yes,
and if that's true, I am all for it.
Yeah, it has been on the cards for a while, isn't it?
Unless BioWare do their usual and completely fuck it up, like
anything they've touched for
the last two games been fucking shit.
Like, yeah, they've been crap for like basically 10
Anthem
years.
And Mass Effect Andromeda double
up. Andromeda, which I am still tempted to pick up at some point.
Apparently they have fixed it. I've heard they've gone back and they've patched it to make it like the storyline's apparently still a bit bland.
Yeah.
But they've patched all the bugs and all the shit that was going on.
It'd be worth a play, I'm sure.
You could probably pick it up for like a fiver now as well.
Yeah, you probably could. Oh, I'm going to give that a go at some point.
Got bombed.
Yeah, I mean, like, the Knights of the Old Republic 2 had a really, like, its whole ethos at the heart of the story is basically that light side is stupid and dark side is stupid.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, like, actually makes a lot of sense. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
I mean, I'm really fucking diluting this. Like, like, if that was the subcontext of the game, it would be shit. Like, yeah, it's both a bit silly, isn't it, mate? Fancy coffee?
A 5-minute conversation from down the pub.
Yeah, yeah, just like, all right, finished, completed that. Yeah, but I mean, they're worth a play, but like, I'm the same as you now. Like back in the day, I could just sit down and just blast through them. I can't anymore.
No.
I tried Knights of the Old Republic, like, not too long
ago. I've got it on Steam.
Likewise. I tried it not too long ago, and I couldn't. I played half an hour of it, and I was like, nah, because I know I'm not going to be able to sit down for this. I'm going to get itchy feet, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm just going to want to move, do something else, play something else.
But it's like Jedi Knight 2, Jedi Outcast.
Yes, yeah,
that
yeah.
That came out on Switch recently.
Did it?
Yeah. They re-released it on Switch.
You loved that back in the day,
didn't
you?
I loved it on GameCube. Yeah. And I was so tempted to get it again, and I remembered that it takes half the game until you get the actual Jedi powers. And I was like, can I be bothered? Also, I have it on PC already.
Yeah.
Why do I want to buy it on Switch? But I kind of do.
Well, because then you can lie in bed and play it.
Exactly. That's the clue.
And
of
like,
Switch,
believe me, that's worth a lot of money. It's worth a lot of money to be able to do that. It's
and then you put it to sleep, put it on the side, and then Switch is great.
Anyway,
back to the game.
Yeah.
Any more points, or should we get towards the end?
One other point is that, like, if you are going to decide to play this game and pick it up and give it a go, if you haven't for a long time or if it's your first go, rely on Qui-Gon Jinn.
Yes.
Rely on Qui-Gon.
What a guy.
Yes, Qui-Gon. Hello, dog, you're right. Qui-Gon is a fucking tank. Qui-Gon will happily just stroll into danger, soak up all the bullets, and let you pick them off one by one.
He's good.
He takes a battering. You know, rely on Qui-Gon. Other than that, I don't think there are any other points to speak of exactly. Like, you know, we've gone over, like, tank controls. It is kind of Lara Crofty in its own sort of way. The camera angle's fucking weird.
Yeah, camera angle's proper weird. It's like a 45-degree angle to
Yeah,
you.
It doesn't... I don't think it works.
It's not... If you're going for, like, a top-down, it's not there. If you're going for a behind-the-kill person, it's not there.
I think a pure top-down would have been better.
Yeah, maybe, because there were bits where, like, you went into a room, but the bit above the door of that room would block your view from the people.
Just get, like, a black rectangle.
You just suddenly realise you're being hurt, and then as you walk forwards a bit more, that rectangle goes out of the camera view, and then there's like six droids looking at you.
Yeah, just blasting their fucking way.
So like,
that's what happened with the ship.
Yeah,
because you had a fucking black block.
Suddenly, and then before, you know, there's a walking
spaceship shooting at you. What do you do about that?
Hello, dog. Goodness. Yeah, so it was a bit. That was a bit shit. Like, that was a bit of a weird design choice.
Yeah, makes it a bit. It feels, I don't know. Feels unfinished in its own little way.
But we
it?
Did manage to beat level one.
Yes.
In our half an hour.
We did.
Which I'm very proud of.
I'm glad we did. I'm glad we persevered with that. But I don't think there are any other...
It seems to follow the beats of the film.
Yes.
You know, level one was you're on that ship and you've got to escape.
Yes.
Level two was you land on
Jar Jar's
Naboo?
Fucking swamp.
Naboo,
is it
Naboo?
It is Naboo, yeah. Yes.
You land on Naboo. Obviously, that's as far as we got. That was a half an hour.
Yeah.
So it does seem to follow the beats of the game. I'd like to see what Darth Maul would be like.
Yes, I would like that too, interesting. Actually, yes.
So talking of, would you carry on playing this, or would you just leave it at that?
You know what, I think like down the line, if for some strange reason it just takes my fancy to pick it up for 10 minutes, I might. But I can't commit to saying yes, to be honest.
Yeah.
You know? And like we say quite often, if it's a case of like a couple drinks as a laugh,
quite often
it's not a bad call, but by myself, no.
Yeah.
No way.
I completely agree with that. By myself, no, I would not. But yeah, if we had a few beers and we were just up for a laugh,
yeah,
then I would be up for it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But I would probably YouTube the final level to see what that's like.
I had a quick YouTube before we started the podcast. There is a speed run of it in under an hour.
Well, we were getting towards that level.
I mean, we were basically
We've done the first level in like 10 minutes by the time we learnt where everything was.
Basically, we just needed another 20 minutes to warm up and then
we'll smash it.
Knock that game out in like 3/4 of an hour. No trouble, mate. No trouble.
Yeah, well, Monday I might just watch bits of that then, just to get an idea of what the rest of it is. But no, I wouldn't sit back and play it.
No, agreed. All right.
Right.
We're in agreement.
Should we go into Cornwall?
Let's go into Cornwall. All right.
Right. So, we've got our list of 28 games.
God, it's awful looking back at this again, isn't it, after all this time? So, in descending order from our best, so at number one sits GoldenEye, and I just don't see that being dethroned, to be honest, for the N64. At number two is Alien Resurrection for the PlayStation 1. Number three is Warriors for the PS2, Hercules for the PlayStation 1 in fourth, and then Aladdin in fifth for the Sega Mega Drive. In total reverse fashion, in number 24 is Back to the Future 1, Part 1 for the NES. The Crow. Oh.
Do you remember that?
Oh, can't forget The Crow.
That was a PlayStation 1 game too.
Face. The Crow for the PlayStation 1, Wayne's World for the SNES, Powerpuff Girls Chemical Extraction. It will break my heart every time I read it for the PlayStation 1. And then in last place, the bottom of the barrel, number 28, Shrek. Extra large. For the motherfucking GameCube.
So, looking at that, roughly, what are you kind of thinking there?
The thing is, it's obviously we've had a little hiatus from Cash Grab, but I remember all these so clearly, like every game so clearly. For me, as I'm looking at it, it's below Finding Nemo, which sits at number 16.
Really?
Yeah, I'd put it below that. But I don't know if it's better than Friday. I like Friday the 13th. And yeah, Power Rangers the movie I really liked. But Gremlins I didn't. I think I've got my place.
You know what? If you're putting it down like 18, 19.
Yeah, I am.
Out of 29. Personally, mate, I'd be putting it up by like Street Fighter the movie up by 10.
Get away.
I really enjoyed it. Like, I thought it was a solid PS1 game.
Let me think. Let me look at this. So, I'm going to go...
Give me your argument.
I think, like, Jurassic Park I just generally enjoyed more. That was wicked.
Yeah, that was good fun.
Fucking wicked. Like, that's open world, indoors, outdoors. It's got its, like, doom bits. It's got its, like, outdoor exploration. Like, what effects you have on the outside world stay if you die.
Yeah, true.
Like, there was so much to that. It was great. Moonwalker,
It could sit under Jurassic Park, maybe. But like then, Action Man. I loved Action Man.
Action Man was actually surprisingly good.
Action Man was
it?
Great fun. And Cool Spot's just a wicked platformer. Toy Story 1's a really solid platformer. Finding Nemo was
really good fun.
Finding Nemo was a bit, it was a bit of a straightforward thing, but it looked lovely. It was polished, for like a kid's platformer, sort of underwater platformer. I thought it was great. So, do you know what I mean?
That
middle section
is very difficult to break into it.
Yeah, although it's in the middle, it's like any one of those could knock a top 10 spot. They're solid games.
Yeah, you're right.
So really, really, all right, look, I won't put it underneath Friday the 13th. I think, but then Power Rangers. All right, I'll put it under Finding Nemo. I'm putting it as the new number 17.
Yeah, well, I'll agree with that.
Yeah?
I'll take that. Yeah, I think that's fair.
Sweet. It's basically middle, which is quite funny because it's quite similar to what many of the reviews and Metacritic scores are saying for the movie. It's a middling thing.
It's a middling thing.
There you go, number 17. So I suppose this leads us on to the question, our namesake, is it a cash grab?
Well, it's difficult with Star Wars because everything... Star Wars is the most... what's the word I'm trying to say? Franchised?
That's, you know, that's kind of where I was going.
They branch out into everything. They've got, obviously, when the original Star Wars came out and George Lucas took the rights to the merchandise.
Yes.
They went fucking mental with it.
Yes.
You know, they went crazy with it and it hasn't stopped.
No. Not at all.
Going to, Orlando when... which one was coming out? Force Awakens or was it Last Jedi? Last Jedi.
Which was the recent one?
Rise of Skywalker was a recent Skywalker. One. Must have been Last Jedi. I went over to Orlando and the fucking place was filled. Obviously, it's where Disney World is. So But it was mental everywhere. So they know how to cash grab Star Wars.
Yeah, they do. And they always have.
The only thing they fucked up is the Baby Yoda. They don't have that anywhere for some reason.
What is bait? Is it on
it's from
Mandalorian?
The Mandalorian, yeah.
So it's just a baby...
It's a baby whatever Yoda is, yeah.
Why are people obsessed with it?
It's quite cute.
Oh, right. So it's like a... But you know what? I know who's sitting in a cupboard, crying their eyes out, and wanking off.
Poor E.T.
No, I was going to say BB-8.
BB-8? I thought you were going to say E.T.
No, because BB-8 was considered cute and everyone loved BB-8 and now Baby Yoda's come along.
Yeah,
he's,
but BB-8 then,
old news, isn't it?
Then that Porg thing was there.
Who?
That Porg? Remember the Porg? The weird little puffin...
I remember!
Yeah.
Where he's on the island.
Yeah.
Where Luke's jamming out.
So, I mean, Star Wars know how to make a cash grab. They know how to merchandise their stuff. You know, they make they make creatures to sell them, BB-8, the Porg and all that.
Yeah, it's true.
They know how to make something that's cute and nice that you're going to want to buy a little plush toy of it or a robot of it or whatever.
Yeah, it's true.
Or how to make a cool spaceship that you want to buy a Lego version of and spend fucking 400 quid.
Yep. Or a friendship pillow of Chewie.
Exactly. So, yeah, but I would say this isn't a cash grab.
Oh, really? Oh.
I would say it's not because,
obviously it is.
It is, but...
But it's not.
But they've done enough to it to, take it away from... It doesn't feel like they just rushed it out for the sake of rushing a game out.
Yeah.
It feels like a solid PS1 game that could stand up to the others that were going around at the time.
Yeah, I suppose so, thinking about it. I mean, I'm going to say it is a cash grab. It's literally the film.
Yeah, that's what they all are, isn't it?
It
doesn't do anything different, I'll give you that.
It's literally like some coder was just watching the film, just quickly, just fuck.
I missed the scene.
I can't copy it.
It's all corridors and everything's down to a T.
It's the game equivalent of tracing paper.
If you took the Star Wars away from it, would it still be a good game? The dog's going a bit mad.
Yeah, dog's stretching. Maybe not.
Because that's what people said to me about the latest Star Wars game, Jedi Order.
Fallen Order.
Would you still enjoy that if it wasn't a Star Wars game?
Would you? No.
It's hard to say.
Oh, and you platinumed it.
Yeah, because I did enjoy the game.
Mm.
It had its Souls-like bits, but it wasn't that difficult.
Yeah.
It wasn't Souls level, Bloodborne level of difficulty.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's hard to say if I would have enjoyed it if it wasn't a Star Wars game. Because the lightsaber was the whole point of that game.
Yeah.
And with this one, it's the same kind of thing. Would you enjoy this game if it was just the blaster? Probably not.
No. Not at all.
I'm going cash
grab. So it's a cash grab then, isn't it?
Got it! I was really hoping it wouldn't be.
Well, there you go. It's a flipping cash grab.
There we go. Right, well.
New number 17.
New number 17, yeah.
Goodness.
Well, next week episode, we'll be carrying on the tradition of the...
Fuck, another Harry Potter.
Harry Potter 3 on the PS2.
I don't know how we can ever get more intense than the last Harry Potter we did, chronicling Vernon's scream.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be an interesting one.
I mean, I'm interested because I don't remember the third too much, Prisoner of Azkaban. It is Prisoner of Azkaban.
Yes.
Yes, so I don't remember it too much, so I'm quite intrigued for it. I'm looking forward to it. But yes, join us next time. 30th episode.
Woo.
Christ, got there quick.
Well, we did.
After a 2-year hiatus.
After a 2-year break.
That happened quick. All right. Thank you so much for listening and so much for viewing whatever platform you're on. It's greatly appreciated. Do support us in any way you can. Once again, it's greatly appreciated. So, yes.
Feel free to comment on anything that you want us to do.
In fact, do.
Yeah.
Do comment. Loads.
Give us some ideas.
As long as it's got a tie-in film or a tie-in TV series or tie-in whatever, we can do it.
We'll give it a go. Sonic movie. I didn't see it in the cinema.
No.
But when it's out on DVD...
Absolutely.
You'll be sure as hell we're watching that bad boy.
Absolutely. 100%, in fact.
Yeah.
Wicked. All right.
Go. Cool.
That's one for the list. Until next time, thank you for listening. We're out.
Bye.